It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business on 77 WABC in the New York, New Jersey metro area and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. This show, Mind Your Business, on the legendary 77 WABC, is all about you. Every single week, we seek out and interview C-level executives and business leaders from all types of industries and ask them the questions that are on your mind. Gain business advice and strategies on so many professions and industries, including sales, social media, corporate culture, emerging technologies, real estate, leadership, strategic planning, communications, entrepreneurship, financial planning, nonprofit management, time management, hiring, customer retention, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you'll gain solid business advice and strategies to get you ahead in today's business world. Well, as we open each week with some thank you, special thank you to the show's producer, Pesach Trapper, thank you, and to the devoted team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group, Rena, Srilly, Miriam, Dina, just to name a few from among the many players here at Bottom Line that play an important support role for this show. Also, to the great team at 77 WABC, Jose, Matt, Chris, Brian, Justin, thank you very much. Also, a special thank you to some of our recent guests. We had an incredible show with Michael Fragan and Kalman Yeager having a 2016 post-election wrap-up show, and we really covered a lot of subjects, polling, how they were so off, understanding polling data, and we even talked about the 2017 landscape in the New York City races. So if you're a political junkie, then for sure that show is for you. But certainly if you're into politics whatsoever, and everyone should be somewhat involved, certainly by voting, then you could hear that show. Even if you missed it, no worries. All past episodes are available by going to WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com. In fact, you could pick up all the past shows, and now there are roughly 70 episodes that already have run on this program, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, right here on 77 WABC. I'm just going to list off a couple of an incredible guest we've had. Jack Canfield, author of The Success Principles, Jay Beer, social media guru, and the author of Hug Your Haters. That was an incredible interview. Jeffrey Colon, communications designer at Microsoft, and the author of Disruptive Marketing. And in fact, I'm going to use this opportunity to remind the listeners that there's an incredible giveaway that this program is doing. We've interviewed a lot of incredible C-level executives, and many of them have been authors, and they wrote books. And therefore, we're giving away 16 books. We're calling it 16 for 2016. And all you have to do to enter is send a text to the special number, 22828, and put in MYB for Mind Your Business. It's that simple. 22828 MYB. And just send it, and you're automatically entered. I'll read off four of the titles right here. One of them is Disruptive Marketing by Jeffrey Colon. I just mentioned that. One is Rising to Power by Ron Carucci. And we did interview him a number of months back. A great interview. In fact, it's available as a video as well by going to WABCBizRadio.com. And Shep Hyken's book, Amaze Every Customer Every Time by Shep Hyken. Those are just three out of the 16 that you can get, and we're calling it again the 16 for 2016. And again, all you have to do is send a text to 22828 and put in the words MYB. But without further ado, it's time to get to our special guest. Who is my guest in studio? None other than Rabbi Richard Beeler. Some background about Rabbi Beeler. Rabbi Beeler now is the president and founder of R. Beeler Consulting. He coaches and consults many nonprofits. And his background, he's actually around 35 years of experience in developing, organizing, and executing fundraising activities on behalf of higher education and social service organizations, to name two very prominent ones. He worked for a number of years at Yeshiva University and for a number of years at Ohel Children's Home and Family Services. And his specialty is major gift cultivation and solicitations tuned to the sensitivities of the donor, understanding segmentation, board development, bringing together different generations of lay leadership, and passing the leadership of an organization or school onto the next generation. So this is fundamentally going to be geared for the nonprofits in the audience. Certainly, entrepreneurs and small business owners will learn a thing or two from Rabbi Bieler's deep knowledge in interacting with donors. But certainly, this show is specifically tailored and geared for the nonprofit organizations out there. So without further ado, Rabbi Bieler, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Thank you for inviting me. Looking forward to the conversation.
Very special. And the listeners are looking forward to tapping into your great reservoir of knowledge. Let's talk about organizations. Do organizations have a life cycle?
It's very interesting that when people approach an organization, often the first reaction is, how have we always done something? What is the way that it works? Mm-hmm. And yet we saw just recently during the political season
that
each party is going through the self-examination of who are our constituents, mm-hmm. who's getting involved, where do we go, do we move on this direction, move in that direction? But organizations need to do the same thing. There's a famous chart which was created by Susan K. Stevens called Nonprofit Life Cycles, where she describes how in the beginning it's easy to get a not-for-profit off the ground. People are excited about the idea. There's a founder. People, let's be the first. And in general, with fundraising, the easiest dollars to raise are the first dollars or the last dollars. Mm. In other words, people are excited about starting a project, and people are excited about being the ones who finish the project. The middle dollar is the hardest to raise. So in the beginning, an organization captures the interest. People want to be entrepreneurial when they get involved, and things are exciting, and you find a new niche and a new cause, and publicity is never a question, marketing is never a question. Let's go, let's go, let's go, and people want to be there. The question is, what happens in the natural course of events, as in any business, and I'm sure this applies for the profit sector as well as the not-for-profit sector, mm-hmm. or in terms of political parties, or any organization is a living organism, and at a certain point, it reaches a peak, and the key is what does the organization do when it reaches its peak of activity? Does it say, we're okay, we're going to keep on going the way we're going? Or does it say, wait a minute, maybe we have to think about who's not yet involved and maybe we can bring more people in? And naturally, over time, when the novelty wears off or other people occupy the space of that particular cause, people get less involved or people shift to another organization or another cause. And what does an organization do? And that's the critical point. Mm. And where my organization gets involved in terms of the consulting services is we attempt the turnaround, which is really against gravity because you're coasting. And you're almost coasting downhill. So the organization has to be willing to push back and bring itself back in the upward curve.
Now, does that mean just that they have to announce new initiatives, or it's just moving the needle in terms of who they're servicing, or is it a combination of both?
Well, it's very important to retain the involvement and to give the recognition to those who founded the organization because they sweated the details in the mm-hmm. beginning. So you don't leave them behind, but that's where the nuance comes in. How do you open up to new individuals while retaining the involvement and loyalty of the founders? And both parties have to be willing. The new individuals have to recognize who started things, and the founders have to be open enough to say, you know, I'm not going to be here forever. Let's bring in some new people.
But if I may, when you talk about, and I'm looking at this diagram that you have about the life cycle of an organization, and when it goes from grow, sustain, and then decline, renew.
Right.
What is that? Is that suggesting that there should be new initiatives from within the organization?
It can, but it also suggests that you have to look at who's going to support the organization now and how has the donor base changed. And that's where we get into how people give differently. It's really been proven, and I think we all know it from our own experiences within our families, that some people give more emotionally mm-hmm. and some people give more intellectually. And whereas...
Is there a percentage to that, by the way?
Oh, there is a percentage, and it's ironic because the matures, as they're called, or the boomers, which I belong to in terms of that group, they are responsible for the largest amount of dollars being given because they already, in theory, have some disposable income. they have been working all along. I also believe it's because many of them grew up in a time when they didn't have that much money, and they understand the value of charity versus a millennial generation X and Y. And I don't mean to generalize, but in most cases, people have grown up in better times where they don't really feel the hunger. They don't really feel the pain that their parents and grandparents felt. So their reasons for giving charity are different than the older generations.
Now, what are some of the different reasons that people are motivated to be charitable? And I know you touched on boomers, millennials, but what are some of the, and you touched on it, some people are aspirational, some people it's more emotional, you said intellectual. Maybe you could talk about that, the different types of reasons why people give to an organization.
That's key. And for those who are professionals in this area who are trying to raise money, it's more important why your donor wants to give money than what your cause is doing, actually. Because the important part about being successful with a lay leader and a philanthropist and a foundation is to understand what they want to do. It is their money. And the idea is that can your project fit into their dream? You can't change someone. If someone likes to give to a hospital, they'll want to give to medical reasons more than that. Doesn't mean they're wrong. That's what they want to do. So if you come with a museum or if you come with a school project, even, you can't say to them, you know, I think you're wrong because you want to give to medical care. You have to find the individuals. Now, people have to remember that there's over $350 billion given in charitable cash every year in the United States of America.
Wow.
And I maintain that every charity that's raising as much as it is now can continue to raise that, and there's much more money for charities to secure. The people who say, well, that person is tapped out, or how can I go to them? There are other people out there, and if you really look for the people who are interested in what you do, there's a lot of money available. You have to work for it, but it's never acceptable, in my opinion, to say there's no one left to ask.
Fascinating. Now, when you, I've been working with you for a while and following up with this question about why people give to certain reasons, I'm not going to ask you for anything that's would be considered confidential, but I understand you've shared the story about going into a donor's office. I know this touches on marketing, but this also,
it is
touches
marketing.
On
fundraising is education and marketing.
What you went into a donor.
Right.
And you had prepared in your briefcase, what, three different presentations, and you wound up not pulling out any of them.
Right.
What happened?
This was an amazing situation. This is when I was associated with OHEL, Children's Home Family Services. The internet was new, and we were going to see someone who was ready to give, who knew one of our board members, and it was a question of how much and for what project. It wasn't a question of if. And we did our research. One of my mottos is plans don't always work, but no plan never works.
Right.
That you have to be prepared. And sometimes you can think the best idea and it makes the most sense and it doesn't go. But if you walk in without a plan, your chances of success are almost nil. So this was the beginning of the internet. And this person was involved in a company that was very much associated with the internet. And OHEL, which is involved in areas where the internet plays sometimes a negative role in terms of counseling children and young adults who may be involved in the wrong reasons on the internet. So we prepared two proposals, not knowing how much they would be, for a program that would involve internet safety. Made sense. He liked he was going to give. He's involved in the internet. We took OHEL's involvement in the internet. And I had the two amounts on either side of my bag, knowing which one was appropriate, because early in my career, I'm very grateful to a gentleman who said, sometimes people ask me for too little and I never argue with them.
Wow.
So it's always a question about how much to ask.
Right.
You don't want to ask for too much.
Right, and get shown the door.
But you also don't want to ask for too little.
And blow the opportunity.
So I had the two proposals on either side of my bag. Hopefully I knew which side was which. But when I went in the office, I saw something different. And I advise, when I do my teaching and coaching, to look around. The best way to learn about someone, even before you have a conversation, is look at their wall if you're in their office. If you're in their house, look at their coffee table. If you see a series of plaques on the wall, then you have someone who might be interested in being honored. If you see that there are no there's no recognition of them being honored, then
that's not what interests them.
That's not what interests them. If you see the pictures of a fish, or if you see pictures of skiing,
right,
then that's the kind
those
of...
Those are the cues.
Those are the cues that you have. So I walked in to this gentleman who was a very passionately religious Reformed Jew, and I saw pictures of the Eichmann trial, and I saw pictures of the camps after the liberation, and it's the last thing that I expected. Right. And so the conversation went in that direction, and it turns out that he was saved. He knows that he's alive because his grandfather escaped this little shtetl in Poland, and although he's not observant, he never forgot. And it was very powerful. He's a very successful individual. And he said, every morning I take my Rolex watch in my brownstone, which I visited in Manhattan, but I have a bowl that my grandfather owned. And I keep my Rolex watch in that bowl to remember where I came from.
Wow. Wow.
Very powerful, very sincere. I knew that we weren't going to talk about internet security at that point. And then we turned the discussion to children of survivors who have significant developmental or emotional disabilities. And the discussion went that way. So neither proposal made it out of my bag.
What a great story. Understanding the donor, even after you had done a lot of preparation.
Correct.
And it's not like you didn't do your homework. You did your homework. But at the end of the day, you walked into the room, studied the walls, and said, okay, I think the kind of on the dime.
This is what he's interested in.
Amazing. My guest this evening is Rabbi Richard Beeler, a noted nonprofit fundraiser and now a consultant. By the way, how could people get in touch with you?
So my email is pretty simple, rbeelerconsulting, B-I-E-L-E-R, consulting at gmail.com, and they can reach me that way.
Fantastic. We're going to take a short commercial break, and if you have any friends that are in the nonprofit world, let them know we're speaking with Rabbi Richard Beeler on this evening, on this edition of Mind Your Business, right here on 77 WABC. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? And does it have the 2016 look? Well, look no further than websitewithbrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit websitewithbrains.com.
Author, radio host, and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis, has written the essential book for the success-driven, fast-paced professional. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is a must-read for marketing your business and building your personal brand. Former U.S. Congressman and media executive Bob Turner describes So, What's the Bottom Line? As a compass to guide the experienced executive or marketing novice through any step in planning or organizing a selling strategy. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and bookstores nationwide. Get your copy today.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. My guest this evening is none other than Rabbi Richard Beeler, noted fundraising executive and actually now a consultant. And his experience, two of the many notable organizations that he's worked with include Yeshiva University for a number of years, working with Rabbi Richard Joel, and of course Ohel Children and Family Services, Children's Home and Family Services, with of course with David Mandel and others. I want to remind the listeners that we're now in the midst of this incredible sweepstakes, whatever you want to call it. We're giving away 16 incredible books. And we're calling it 16 for 2016. And this include primarily the authors that were on this program. And, for example, we have one of the books is Unique Ability 2.0 Discovery. This is by Julia Waller. By the way, you could hear her interview by going to WABCBizRadio.com. We had a fantastic interview talking about understanding a person's unique abilities. We're touching on it with Rabbi Beeler about understanding your donor's unique interests. But she talks about it, that a person has to be grounded and understand their unique abilities, because when they're within when they're working within their unique talents, they'll be a lot more successful because they're gliding along and instead of grinding along. Another book, of course, is the Think Big, Act Bigger by Jeffrey Hazlett. That's actually even autographed, the Jeffrey Hazlett one. And there's so many other books that's part of this executive book collection giveaway. All you have to do is send a text to 22828 and put in the word and just type in the letters MYB for Mind Your Business. Again, send a text to 22828 MYB and you're automatically entered to win the 16. Again, the winner is going to win all 16 books of the executive book collection, 16 for 2016. And again, all you have to do to enter is 22828 and put in MYB. Well, now we go to our guest, Rabbi Richard Bieler. We touched on it before, but if I may, I still want to hold on to it because the concept is so fascinating. Understanding your donor. And like you said, some donors might give to healthcare hospitals, some zoos, some museums, some higher education, some maybe different forms of education or social services. Here's how I want to frame it. Is it possible for someone who's in a particular, let's say in education, and there's some relationship with a major donor who gives, but they're, their list of giving has always been in health-related matters. Is it possible to get a gift from that person, or are they wasting their time?
So I don't think anyone wastes their time with a conversation, and the only bad meeting is the one you don't have, because you never know.
Great
Sometimes
point.
You can be surprised. But this is where the interaction between lay leaders and professionals comes into play. Often organizations, if challenged or if they examine themselves a little more closely, even a social service organization can find a very strong educational component in the work that it does. Perhaps it does preventive care. Maybe it goes to visit schools to talk about certain issues. Maybe they have community board meetings or community meetings, or in any way that they're involved in education, even if it's informal education, there is a way to start the conversation. And often, donors do not start out with an organization with a major gift. They start out giving actually because they have to give. They give because they know someone, because they're related to someone, they want to do business with someone, and that's the way it is. And there's nothing wrong with that. And it's really the role of the not-for-profit and the professionals and the board of the not-for-profit to turn that having to give into wanting to give, which means having them when they're in the room, prep. I always call it prepare for success. If you have an event, a lot of people put a lot of emphasis into good materials and preparing before, but they're not always ready to raise the money at the event. When they get people excited at the event, when you turn them on, how are you going to try and close the deal before they go to another dinner in 2 nights and get turned on legitimately by another cause? So when preparing for an event, and events are an important part of a portfolio of fundraising activities, it's important to prepare for success, to make sure that you're talking to your marketing company, that you have materials that enable people to respond on the spot. Because once they leave the room,
right,
it's much harder. So that's part of the preparation, focusing on what happens. I always advise my clients that the two most important weeks of the year are the 2 weeks that you want to take off. And they say, what do you mean?
I remember you saying this. Right, right? I love it. I'm ready.
You have a major event. You're working for months and nights and days and weekends. And you have the event and you've already scheduled your flight out of town.
The
day after, because you're done. No, you're not done. On the contrary, the most fertile time to get people to move from one level to the next is right after your successful event.
And even though they committed to a gift already.
Right.
You're saying still, this is the time to strengthen the bond and to keep the communication alive.
Right. That's when the board member has sat with its prospect at the table and gotten them ready for a meeting. And if you wait 3 weeks to try and make the appointment,
then already it's another
4 dinners have gone by.
Wow. Now, but you raised another great point. It's not considered disingenuous to say that, and let's use the example again, the donor's the donor's heart is in the world of healthcare.
Right.
the fundraiser is representing an educational institution. All he has to do is try to find where within his educational institution he does things that are associated to healthcare.
Correct.
And package it for that donor.
Correct. Correct.
And that's maybe, not disingenuous. I
mean, maybe they want to name the hygiene program in the school. Right. Maybe they want to do something with the nurse's office. Maybe they need equipment. That's to open the conversation. Mm-hmm. The other point about reasons that different reasons people give, and I think this applies to the entire community and whatever people's mm-hmm. affiliations are, is that those people who grew up, again, in difficult times, whether they experienced wars or they experienced depression, economic depression, or they experienced in the Jewish community, they are feeling the effects still of the Holocaust, they give emotionally. And you can pretty much show them a picture of smiling, happy children, and that's enough. Their children, thank goodness, are more educated than they are, and they have the MBAs. And I always say, I can mention this about attorneys because I'm married to a lawyer, that they have law degrees. They're very analytical.
Right.
And having worked now for 3 decades and actually worked with 2 and almost 3 generations of some families, I've seen the difference. And suddenly the word value has crept into the conversation about charity. Hmm. For many fundraisers, the first reaction is value? You're doing a good thing. You're helping people. What do you mean value?
Right.
What do you mean how much are you spending per child? What do you mean what's your budget? What do you mean? And you to be successful, again, meeting the donor where they are is not only where they are emotionally, but where they are intellectually.
Right.
And if the person requires a budget, you can't say, trust me. That doesn't work. You have to produce a budget. If the person says, I want to look at your 990, which is the form that is a public document that shows how the charity is operating, you have to discuss that with them. So that is also the difference. If you want to involve millennials, if you want to involve Generation X and Y, you have to expect the question, why do I choose you instead of the other charity that's in the same space? The marketing is important and gets you in the door, and you need that. But you have to be ready to defend what you do.
Now, you also advocate that an organization should have a diversified portfolio.
Right.
And we'll touch on that. That is board membership, gift opportunities,
right.
entry points for philanthropy, and of course, there's some are involved around an event. Maybe you could discuss that.
Absolutely. If studies have shown that most people who leave an estate gift for a charity put that estate gift into their fourth or fifth version of their will. In other words, I'm talking about the real money here, not the I'm on the board, I'm going to leave a certain amount. I'm talking about the mega gifts are only put into the person's will after they know the children are set up and the grandchildren are set up and there's still money and the trusts are established. Then people are ready to consider the mega gift in that regard. And a charity, to be successful, and also a lot of major wills come in from individuals who may have never visited the charity physically, but they get a calendar every year or they get a book.
But those are considered almost like you won the lottery. I mean, that's degree. But I mean, you certainly invested some level of relationship with them, but many times on a technical level.
Right.
I want to focus on the ones where there's relationship.
Right. So the different entry points is that not everybody is ready to come to an event and not everybody is ready to make a large gift. At the same time, for the organization, the most cost-effective fundraising gift is the major gift.
Right.
If you think about it, if a professional even travels to a city out of town and stays 1 or 2 nights in a hotel and has a couple meals and comes back with a $25,000 gift, the expense ratio is very low on that gift. If a person runs an event, the expense ratio is very high, higher, it's not very high. But organizations need to do everything. They really need to have their foot in all the different components because people are moving in, people are moving out. There is attrition. If an organization only focuses on its core supporters, after a certain amount of time, they get older, they're not in a position to give. The other diversification is having a board that is involved in different businesses. Some years real estate is good. Some years real estate has to step back. Some years the jewelry industry is flying high.
Right.
Some years not.
Right.
So even within your board, you don't want to be concentrated in any one industry because you won't be able to withstand. It really is like a personal diversified portfolio.
Fascinating. My guest this evening is Rabbi Richard Beeler, noted fundraising consultant. Again, how can people get in touch with you?
rbeelerconsulting@gmail.com is the best way. BIELER consulting@gmail.com.
And fascinating. I want to remind the listeners about the executive book giveaway that we're having, the Executive Business Collection. 16 for 2016. We're giving away 16 books. Many of them are bestsellers. These are not just books you get anywhere. Again, some of the books include Disruptive Marketing by Jeffrey Colon. He is a communications designer at Microsoft. Rising to Power by Ron Carucci. Unique Ability, that's by Julia Waller. She wrote the book. And most of these, if not all, were on Mind Your Business. And you could hear their entire interview if you just want to listen to the interview itself. It's available as iTunes. So many of them are by video. You can go to WABCBizRadio.com. But as far as winning all 16 books, it's going to go to one lucky winner. And to enter, all you have to do is very simple. You just send a text message to 22828 and put in three letters, MYB, for Mind Your Business. That's it, just MYB. Send a text to 22828, and you're automatically entered into this incredible giveaway. You're tuned to Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Did you know that dissatisfied employees cost American businesses over $300 billion each year? Now there's a solution. TeamAhead.co. TeamAhead is a complete solution to help companies of all sizes build a positive corporate culture. Team Ahead helps today's thought leaders make their vision a legacy. Team Ahead's comprehensive approach helps you communicate your vision and engage your employees through many channels, including print, digital, sweepstakes, video, events, social media, and a custom website. Call 800-890-1807, extension 3505 to find out how Team Ahead can transform your business's corporate culture, leading to greater productivity and revenue. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co. Team Ahead will enhance your workplace productivity, boost morale, and successfully communicate your vision. Don't let your company's strongest asset be its biggest liability. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co to fuel your winning workplace today.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? And does it have the 2016 look? Well, look no further than WebsiteWithBrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500 or visit websitewithbrains.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. My guest this evening, Rabbi Richard Beeler, noted fundraising consultant. And for those in the audience, we know that primarily the audience is comprised of small business owners, small to medium-sized business owners. There's still a very incredible perspective that you can gain from Rabbi Beeler. But certainly this show in particular is for the nonprofit executives out there. And there, of course, there are so many, and they're doing wonderful work on the front lines. But this show is all about the secrets that you could gain from Rabbi Beeler's vast experience of 3.5 decades. Rabbi, let's turn to now the concept of the bridge between marketing for nonprofits. We understand at the end of the day, the fundraiser, the director of development has to be spot on, has to do his homework, has to do so much in order to really gain the gift and gain the trust of the donor, etc. What role does marketing play in advancing the cause of giving to nonprofits?
I think it's a great question, and I think it does apply to some of your small business owners who may be listening tonight also. Differentiation is the key. One never says that one is, or another cause, or someone else in the same place or same business is not a good place. You're just saying that you do something differently and you may do it better and you may do it more effectively and more efficiently in the case of charity. What marketing can do if applied properly, number one, it keeps you in the public's eye and ear. And especially today, when we see that there's such a barrage of information that's coming forward, and it's easy to get lost, that a strategic marketing plan is important also for the board, because the board then has to think about why they're doing this work. And if it is 10 or 15 or 20 years after the organization was founded, chances are that conversation hasn't taken place. Wow. So as much as the marketing, the branding is important, because branding also should change as the different individuals change. I think if we remember certain stores that never changed when they how they went in, and I remember if I was a kid, I'd go into a certain supermarket and it looked the same 30 years later. That supermarket's not there anymore, right? Because the model changed, the model, and the model of charity changes as well. So working with a professional group, and also having that group interact with your consumers and have it with your consumers and your donors, and even having them speak to the individuals who are your professionals, clinical professionals in the case of an organization. Don't leave the teachers out of the process. Don't leave the doctors out of the process. Don't leave the social workers out of the process. Involving the whole group, which a marketing plan really can do, and create excitement and, in a sense, that kind of renewal that we're here and we're doing this. And that's
now,
very
you
important.
Raised an interesting point, because you said it even affects the opinions of the board members.
Correct.
Now, you would think that the board, they're vested, they're aspirational. What do they need to be communicated with? I mean, and why spend precious dollars marketing to them if they're on your board anyways?
Because sometimes people who are just looking inside themselves for too long, and this is true about our personal lives, it's true about our community lives, we lose sight of how others are looking at us. And it's important to hold up a mirror once in a while and say, by the way, this is what you're looking like now. And in the case of board members especially, for them to re-energize themselves and to say, okay, this is where the organization was when it started. Where are we going to go now? I'm very grateful for my years at Yeshiva University, which half of which I had two tenures at YU and in the middle being at Ohel. Because when I went to Ohel, and the board members would say, but this is not how we do it here, I was able to say, I hear and I respect that, but let's try a little bit to do it differently, because I've come from a different perspective now. One of the things that holds organizations back, and young fundraisers have a challenge when they're working with older board members, is that they are told, well, this is how we do it here, and this is how it has to be. And we have to have these awardees, and the materials have to look like this, and we're not ready to do anything different. And the professional then has to have someone next to them, behind them, and saying, well, let's try something here. Doesn't mean we're going to break the bank. Doesn't mean we're going to do everything. But it's time to say, let's give it a little fresh coat of paint, and let's see what we're doing.
Now, a question that comes up for nonprofits frequently is, okay, they're working with precious resources.
Right.
How critical is it to set aside funds for marketing when the funds are needed to go to the front lines?
So going back to the idea that there is much more competition in the world of charity today, that people don't only give out of loyalty, they give out of a value, and they give out of how they evaluate a charity, it's important to, again, be in the public's eye and to be there. And also we see that look at all the large companies that continue to advertise. I still see advertisements for Coca-Cola and Pepsi. I still see advertisements for the major car manufacturers. They already have a large part of the market. So why are they still advertising? They're advertising to say, well, we've gotten better. We've gotten stronger. We taste better. We go faster. We're safer. Whatever it is, that the use of a marketing plan for an established organization is also to let people know we're alive. We're tweaking. We're not sitting on our laurels. And that also, again, not only attracts the new donor and attracts the young leader, but it also energizes the board, because now they're giving, again, the first dollar. And now they're not just running the same circle every year, every year, every year. They're doing something different, and the enthusiasm spreads, the excitement spreads, leadership gets involved. It's a whole great thing.
I mean, we found here at Bottom Line Marketing Group, with the nonprofits that we service, What's fascinating is when I love when I hear this back from the front lines, from the director of development, that they that for themselves, it was almost like getting a new suit when they walked in, when they were surrounded by good marketing materials. They had an extra bounce in their step, if you will, when they were presenting. And even that they within an organization, the enthusiasm grew because people realized what they're all about, not realizing day in and day out they're doing great work.
Right.
But when it's written up and when it's publicized, then, and especially that means that neighbors out there will come over to them, oh, wow, you work by X organization? Oh, they do great work. I saw that write-up. Right. I saw that ad. I see they're doing an event, et cetera.
I also want to mention that it's important to work in a way that it's a unified marketing push. It shouldn't be the flavor of the month. It shouldn't be that one board member says, let's go this way. Another board member says, let's go that way. A professional
then it's disjointed.
Then it's disjointed. And like, what is the organization? So the money... And I think you end up spending more money, by the way, when it's disjointed rather than when it's focused.
And one item doesn't feed on the other.
Correct.
The identity is not consistent. And
right.
It's just you're actually not multiplying the value of whatever you're investing
right.
in marketing.
So if there's a commitment to raise new dollars and significant dollars, the cost of marketing plans usually come back very quickly, and even you go beyond the cost easily.
My guest this evening is Rabbi Richard Beeler, noted fundraising consultant. I just want to remind the listeners before we take a short commercial break about the executive book collection giveaway that we're doing. We're calling it 16 for 2016. 16 incredible executive books for anyone in the business world. Many of them actually are autographed. It's pretty cool. The Jeffrey Hazlett one is autographed and a number of the other ones. All you have to do is send a text to 22828 and put in three letters, MYB, for Mind Your Business. You're tuned to the Mind Your Business show. So again, MYB, and send it to 22828, and you're automatically entered to win all 16 books of the 16 for 2016, the Executive Book Collection Giveaway. You're tuned to the Mind Your Business show right here on 77 WABC. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile-friendly? And does it have the 2016 look? Well, look no further than websitewithbrains.com. The complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit websitewithbrains.com. The experienced team at Website with Brains will plan, write, design, and program a stunning and informative website that combines simplicity and flexibility. Best of all, Website with Brains can have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Get ready to look great online and take your business to the next level. See some of the attractive, user-friendly sites built by Website with Brains by visiting websitewithbrains.com. Then give Website with Brains a call at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500.
Author, radio host, and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis, has written the essential book for the success-driven, fast-paced professional. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is a must-read for marketing your business and building your personal brand. Former U.S. Congressman and media executive Bob Turner describes So, What's the Bottom Line? As a compass to guide the experienced executive or marketing novice through any step in planning or organizing a selling strategy. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and bookstores nationwide. Get your copy today.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. I want to remind the listeners that all the past episodes, and including this episode with Rabbi Richard Beeler, is going to be up. This one is going to be up in a few days on WABCBizRadio.com, the entire show. And we'll have a video on it as well in the coming days. And all the past episodes, the interview we had with David Yale, President and Chief Operating Officer of Just Born, Peter Shankman, CEO of The Geek Factory and best-selling author of Zombie Loyalists, and so many others. They're all available by going to, I mean, it's literally a university that's up there. We cover so many different subjects, and it's all available by going to WABCBizRadio.com. Well, as I mentioned to Rabbi Bieler off the air, the time goes very fast when you're on radio, and we have only approximately 10 minutes left, roughly. There are a couple of things that I really want to get to because I know that for a nonprofit executive, this is on their minds. Number one, what is defined as a major charitable gift?
The definition of a major charitable gift depends on the budget of the organization. If we could generally describe it, it would be a stretch gift for your top 10% of your donors. We talked earlier about not asking for too much and not asking for too little.
Mm-hmm.
The major gift is defined by the campaign goal. And I'm always surprised when there's some organizations that don't have even a campaign goal. They say we're trying to get to sort of maybe this and that. and that's another good way to engage the board, to inform them, to look at the budget, to say this is what we can do. I'd also advise the professionals not to wait until the budget is completed and then be approached, because what happens is you as the fundraiser are told, we came up with this budget, now you have to finish the gap, rather than you're being a partner in the budget process to talk about what's realistic based on what has been raised and what can be raised, so you can have input into that process. And then the question is, how many major gifts does every organization need? And everybody will say as many as you can have, but how many can you secure? Then the next step would be to identify those individuals who are already within your list or people whom people know who can be approached, and to start doing some research on them. I'm of the belief that everyone has a proverbial rich uncle, that in almost every family of every student in your school or every consumer in your social service agency, that there is a member of the family who's very grateful for your doing what they're doing for their relative. Mm-hmm. And that person has to know. When I was working at OHEL, I used to give instructions to the social workers, and it wasn't their job to raise money, and they shouldn't raise money. But I said, by the way, if on a Sunday morning someone comes with a driver in a limousine and is dressed extremely well and delivers very generous Hanukkah gifts to a resident in your home, I would like to know who that person was. You don't have to do anything. You shouldn't. You're a clinician. You shouldn't be involved in the fundraising. But the next day, please call me and let me know that someone came to visit, because there's your prospect. And your prospect is also, I also believe strongly that the candidates for major gifts of every organization are already in the house. They're already families who are involved. Even yeshivas that have a shul in their building on Shabbos morning in Yom Tov, there are people coming in from the neighborhood, and some of them are very wealthy people who may not have a child in the school or a grandchild in the school, but they come in and they see the pictures of the walls and they see the projects and they see and they appreciate the fact that they have a place to go to pray and everything like that. Hospitals, people are coming to visit, that the donors, your donors, you don't have to spend that kind of money for donor research. Because your prospects,
they're sitting there
if you want to open your eyes and look for them. So then once you've identified them, and then the early cultivation means how do you start to get them involved? Because you can't go and ask them for a major gift right away. You have them come to an event. It doesn't have to be a fundraising event. It could be a social event. It could be a dedication. It could be anything. And then you make sure that you have done your what I call planned spontaneity. That you make sure that the right people are sitting next to that person, that it happens that at the table where they're sitting, your star clinician is there, your star board member is there. Oh, it just happened that way. Isn't that interesting? But it's again, you have to have a plan. It may not work, but if the person is not sitting at the table, the conversation will never happen. And then the late stage cultivation is trying to decide how much and for what purpose the gift would be, acceptable to the donor, and who should visit. It's usually good in most organizations for a professional and a volunteer to go. And of course, the volunteers are the most effective when they themselves have made gifts to that person's favorite charities. Then it's hard for them to say no. But it's always more effective when the volunteer makes the ask, because the professional is paid to make the ask. So if the volunteer says, this is important to me, I could give my money to a lot of different causes. I have chosen to make this cause important. That says so much more than if the professional says, please give to this cause. And the strategy about the meeting and play acting before the meeting is also very important in terms of making sure that everyone knows what role they're going to play, who's going to open, who's going to close. Each time it could be different. Mm-hmm. And then following up afterwards, that's also very, very important. It's in how the conversation afterwards, the visit, which doesn't ask for money. There's so many important stages in major gifts.
So this that you're describing as far as the steps to a major gift. Now, you touched on something, and I wanted to get back to it. You talked about the volunteer showing up at the professional. Now, of course, the professional is the pro. He's the professional that understands how to do it. And the volunteer is coming along in a very important, critical role. This brings back to something we addressed earlier, and I just want to touch on it. Marketing. Let's say someone's coming for a major gift campaign and shows up with a brochure.
Right.
And the donor says, okay, nice, but you're spending a lot on your marketing. Is that a fair? How does someone answer for that? The fact that if they're getting pushback from a donor that they invested in marketing, even though that's, of course, critical to the process.
I agree, but if the volunteer at the meeting says, the board discussed this, and this was a plan, and one of our board members is covering the cost of this marketing.
And that certainly works great.
Marketing, that works great. In other words, if it's not just a professional spending the charity money, but it's part of an overall capital campaign plan. Mm-hmm. And capital campaigns is a separate discussion because how that works. But the idea is that once a donor sees partnership between a professional and the volunteer, they're much more ready to give. Mm-hmm. Once the donor sees that people are thinking about it, that they're not just visiting because they saw their name in the paper and, oh, yeah, let's go visit this person, that there's a reason why they're going to see them, the whole conversation, the tone changes very much.
Now, if I may, I want to ask about corporate philanthropy.
Sure.
Okay. That's just a fascinating discussion. There's some companies that have matching gifts. What's the benefits for a company to have either a department dedicated to it, obviously depending on the financial makeup of the company, to have corporate giving?
So I want to address first the smaller business that's struggling perhaps more in a more competitive environment that's trying to establish itself. There is no better way to show the community and to show your consumers and to show your customers and your potential customers that you are part of the community than getting involved in corporate philanthropy in a local way, whether it be sponsoring a local event, a Little League team, whatever it is, whatever somebody likes to do. That's what differentiates one plumbing company from another plumbing company. Mm. Just imagine you have the name of the company on the back of these T-shirts
right.
The whole summer. Little and every League, game, yeah. There are a few hundred parents. It's great advertising. So corporate philanthropy, plus the fact you're doing something philanthropic. And when someone wants to choose, should I call this plumber or should I call the other plumber? And they say, you know what? I know that part of the money that I'm going to be giving to this plumber is going to charity. They're more likely to call the plumber who's involved in the community. So it's a great way for a company to differentiate itself from its competition.
Such great points raised by Rabbi Richard Beeler. In case you're just tuning in and you're in the nonprofit world, no worries. By Tuesday morning, the entire episode will be up at wabcbizradio.com. If you want to just listen to it on your computer, there'll be a button for that. If you're an iTunes person, no problem. You can just, on your phone, you can go to the Mind Your Business page from 77 WABC. You can access it by going to wabcbizradio.com. And this entire episode will be up, as well as all past shows that we've had on this great program. Well, before we come to the actual close, I want to remind the listeners that we're in the midst of this great giveaway, 16 for 2016. 16 incredible business books will go to one lucky winner. All you have to do to enter is send a text to 22828. Again, 22828. And put in the three letters, MYB, for Mind Your Business. And you put that in, you're automatically entered to win these 16 incredible publications. Up next is going to be John Batchelor here on 77 WABC. But as we approach the close, I want to thank Rabbi Bieler. First of all, Rabbi Bieler, how can people get in touch with you?
I also want to thank you, Yitzchak, for the opportunity.
Please, share such a great
perspective. If I can share this experience, there's nothing like 30 years of rejections that teach you how to teach this matter. But hopefully we learn from all those.
Great point.
I can be reached on my phone. It's 718-490-4100.
And again, for repeat that, please.
718-490-4100. Or by email at rbieler consulting@gmail.com.
Any final takeaways for the listener? Someone in the nonprofit world, a final takeaway, a final thought that they could have and that keeps them going in the day-to-day dealings with donors.
The idea that when you're working on behalf of a charity, whatever that charity is one of the most noble professions that you can find. And you're helping not only a particular person, but generations. And I think it's very exciting. And I think the profession has become more professional as time has gone on and is appreciated more and more. And I encourage it as a career. In the beginning of the show, you mentioned the different areas of people that are involved. A fundraiser has to know almost all of those areas in terms of marketing, education, speaking, research, writing.
Great point.
You have to have a lot of skills, but you can just change the world. And it's so exciting to be involved in a not-for-profit.
Amazing. What a special thought. Thank you very much, Rabbi Bieler. And this brings to a close another great edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzchak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. Again, John Batchelor is up next. And tune in again next Sunday evening for another edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzchak Saflis. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night from 11 until 12 for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzchak Saflis has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night from 11 until midnight on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.